But we got to understand that this life is, first of all, not about us. It's about Jesus. And secondly, it's about us being used by Jesus to draw people to Jesus. When you and I truly grasp that this life is not about me, it's not about you, but it truly is about Jesus, and therefore Jesus working through us to impact people for Jesus, when you grasp that, when I grasp that concept, your life will never be the same again.
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. We're so humbled and grateful that you've taken time to tune in to today's broadcast. And our prayer is today that you'll be greatly blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Speaking of God's Word, there's so many that need to hear His truth. And so we want to ask you that you would prayerfully consider partnering with us so that we can literally take the gospel around the world. If you sense that God is leading you to partner with us in this endeavor, please go to thisdayministries.org for more information. Well, I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God's Word. And so without further ado, let's go to God's Word and let's see what He has to say.
Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. You know, it's interesting, I came across this quotation from Randy Alcorn. And as I read it, it really hit me between the eyes. And this is what Randy says. Selfishness is when we pursue gain at the expense of others. But God doesn't have a limited number of treasures to distribute. When you store up treasures for yourself in heaven, it doesn't reduce the treasures available to others. In fact, it's by serving God and others that we store up heavenly treasures. Everyone gains, no one loses. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? See, selfishness is when we gain something for ourselves at the expense of others. Now, we could sit here this morning, and if we were truly honest, we could probably give a laundry list in all of our lives of how we're tempted to gratify ourselves, to please self, to live for self. We could probably spend minutes upon minutes, maybe hours upon hours, going through our challenges, amen? But we got to understand that this life is, first of all, not about us. It's about Jesus. And secondly, it's about us being used by Jesus to draw people to Jesus. When you and I truly grasp that this life is not about me, it's not about you, but it truly is about Jesus, and therefore Jesus working through us to impact people for Jesus, when you grasp that, when I grasp that concept, your life will never be the same again. It will truly be transformed. We live in a selfish culture, don't we? We don't have to tell a newborn baby how to be selfish, do we? You that have had children, did you have to go to your kids as they were toddlers and say, come here, Timmy, let me teach you how to not share your toys? That's pretty ludicrous, isn't it? What did we have to do? We did just the opposite, didn't we? Timmy, please share your toys. See, it's very simple for me and for you to be inwardly focused. It's very simple to be focused on self in such a way that we can look like we're living a life for Christ, but the reality is we're really living for self. And it's hard, isn't it? It's challenging. And so here in this one verse today, we're going to, I think, see the really heart of the matter, the nub of the matter. This is a verse that I think many times is taken completely out of context because we don't understand what it really means in the Greek language. We hear the English version of it, as we're going to read here, and we assume it means one thing exclusively when it really means so much more. And so here's what John writes. He says this, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Now, today we're going to look at just this first snippet, okay? And we're going to look at just this one phrase, which is the lust of the flesh. Now, if I say the lust of the flesh, what automatically do you assume we're talking about? We assume it is something sexual, don't we? Can it be something sexual? Absolutely. Are there major sexual issues in our culture today? Absolutely. But that's why we got to understand what this means, because it is not exclusively referring to that. You go, wait a minute, of course it is. It's talking about lust. Well, our culture has taken the word lust and really segmented it and pigeonholed it into one definition. And so here's what it says here in the Greek, the word lust. Unbridled or unrestrained desire or craving, especially in what is forbidden. Now that puts a whole new spin on this, doesn't it? Can I crave something? Can I have an unbridled, a unrestrained desire for something that's other than sexual? Is that possible? All day long, isn't it? But what does it mean, flesh? See, I think when you hear lust of the flesh, I think that's where we get so pigeonholed. Again, I do not want to discount that it can be sexual. Amen? It can. See, the flesh means this in the Greek. Mere human nature. The earthly nature of man apart from divine godly influence and therefore prone to sin and prone to wonder. Now, when we take all of that and we put that in this verse, this is how it really reads in the Greek. You ready? For all that is in the world, the unbridled or unrestrained desire or craving, especially in what is forbidden, that denotes the mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from divine godly influence, and therefore prone to sin, prone to wonder, and opposed to God, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Now what can we put in this definition as far as things that we crave? Woo! Now the list went from here to here, didn't it? You go, what do you mean? Slander? Gossip, jealousy, anger. I mean, we can go on and on by something that our mere human nature craves. Oh, we love to get the juicy piece of information on the phone. And we love to pass it via the prayer request, right? We love to not see someone else excel in what we want to excel in, right? Oh, we don't want people to be pushed to the front. We want to be driving the school bus, don't we? Do you see where this is going? If we're not careful, here is the reality. We can go to church 3 times a week, but the reality is this. We can be parked at 6213 Lust of the Flesh Avenue. We can be here every time the church doors are open and our car resides at 6213 Lust of the Flesh Avenue. Oh, it may not be sexual, but it can be all these other cravings that our flesh has. Have you ever heard someone say this? Man, I lost my cool because I was in the flesh. You guys ever heard someone say something along that line? Boy, I did such and such, and I was in the flesh. What did that mean? Our sinful nature reared its ugly head, didn't it? It reared its ugly head, and instead of us, me, you, being Christ-like, our sin nature came out, didn't it? Our sin nature took over. and we begin to gossip, we begin to slander, we begin to be selfish, we begin to be jealous, we went all these things down the list, even though we're great church-going people 3 days a week, amen? See how easy it is to get sucked into this? You go, wait a minute, I'm just a human. Well, that's true. But who else got challenged by this? Do we know? Luke 4:3. Do you remember Jesus? He had just been baptized. And do we remember what happened after he was baptized? Something very, very critical, important happened just after he was baptized. Do you remember what it was? Anyone know? He was tempted by Satan. Do you remember what Satan said to Jesus? Because if you're out in the wilderness for 40 days, what's going to take over at some point in our lives? Forget 40 days. What about 40 minutes? Amen? Amen? 40 minutes, and we're like, I know I just had lunch, but what's for supper? Satan says in Luke 4:3, hey, Jesus, this is paraphrased. Hey, Jesus, why don't you go command these stones to turn to bread? I know you're hungry. I know you're having a craving. I know that you're having a desire to eat. And Jesus says, you got me. I'm going to give in, and I'm going to turn these stones to bread, right? What does Jesus tell him? Man shall not live by bread alone. What was Jesus doing? He was quoting Scripture. See, when you and I are in the battle, and if you're breathing today, if you got blood in your veins and you got a pulse, you are in the battle. If you are in the battle like you are today, like I am today, the way we overcome our lust of the flesh could be sexual, but it could be all these other things that we've talked about. The way that we overcome is we quote Scripture. There is power in the words. The great preacher back in the day named E.V. Hill, I like how he said it. He said, hit him with the word. Hit Satan with the word. Hit him between the eyes with the word. Smack him in the teeth with the word of God. Pride, self-promotion, gossip, slander, jealousy, bitterness, selfishness, complaining, and the list goes on and on and on. These, if we're not careful, are going to be our greatest weaknesses. But it's in the little things that we get tripped up, isn't it?
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Here at This Day Ministries, we believe in the power of prayer. If you have a prayer request, would you send that request to prayer@thisdayministries.org? That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
When I truly grasp that this life is not about me, it's not about you, but it truly is about Jesus, and therefore Jesus working through us to impact people for Jesus, when you grasp that, when I grasp that concept, your life will never be the same again. See, we've got to understand that there is a struggle. Does anyone in this room besides me struggle from time to time? I mean, we are in a struggle. There are some this morning that are in a physical struggle, that you're going through many challenges physically. But we got to understand from Scripture that the real challenge is not a physical struggle. Ephesians 6 tells us this, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. No, we wrestle against the spiritual forces, the darkness that wages war around us. Amen? There is truly a spiritual war going on. You say, how do you know? Well, we just told ourselves, didn't we? We went back to the Word of God. There is a tension. You go, okay, I understand that, but give me an example of someone who was a stalwart of the faith who really grappled. Give me an example of someone who had it all sold out to Jesus, who laid it all on the altar, but still struggled. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes it's daunting, isn't it? I mean, do you ever look at someone and you go, I would never be able to be like them. You guys ever do that? I'm guilty. I know my own life. I know my sin. I know my struggles. And it's easy sometimes to go, I could never be like them. Well, here's what the Apostle Paul says. How many of us in the room today think the Apostle Paul was a pretty good guy as far as fighting the battle of faith? Few of us? I would say he's pretty high up on the food chain, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say the Apostle Paul, even though he wasn't perfect, woo, he was up there, wasn't he? Here's what he says in Romans 7, 14 through 20. This is Paul speaking. Please understand this. Paul is speaking here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I, this is Paul, am carnal. He said he's carnal. Do we know what that word carnal means in the Greek? It's a real simple word. It means in the flesh. Do you see the connection here? You see where we're going? Who's speaking again here in Romans? Paul. What did he just say? He just said, I am fleshly. Here's what he goes on to say. Sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Is that not powerful? The great Apostle Paul, here he is saying, look, I don't have it all together. He's saying, you know what? I am filthy rags compared to the Holy God. I live in my flesh. As long as you and I are here on this earth, as long as we're living on this earth, we are in this body of death, aren't we? No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try and try and try, we are going to struggle. Now, does that mean we have license to sin? Of course not. As Paul says there, do we go on sinning that grace may abound? Certainly not. We're in a battle, though, aren't we? See, we're carnal. We are fleshly. That's why we struggle with the lust, the unbridled desires, the cravings of what our flesh wants to do. When someone's mean to you or mean to me, our typical default is not to love them back, is it? What does our flesh want to do? Right? I mean, that's what our flesh wants to do. We want to self-protect. Well, we want to build that wall up because we're living in our flesh, and that's what we can say truly in those moments, oh, what was I thinking? I was living in my flesh. My flesh got the best of me. I wasn't thinking scripturally. I wasn't thinking godly. I wasn't thinking Christ-like. I was truly thinking in my flesh. It's a challenge, isn't it? If you're a dad in the room today, a husband, a father, the worst thing that you and I can do is to live in the flesh. I mean, when we live in the flesh, and we are continually, habitually living in the flesh, the reality is it all gets traced back to our pride. We're pleasing self. We're gratifying our human flesh. And I promise me and I promise you, dads, husbands, fathers, when you and I park our camper at 6213 Lust of the Flesh Avenue, we're taking ourselves down and we're taking our families down with us. See, we can't rationalize this because our lust of the flesh is not sexual. It may be. There may be the struggle there. But if we're just rationalizing this, saying, oh, it's okay, what we're doing is we're saying, well, certain sin is okay, and therefore God's really not a God of wrath against sin, and therefore he sent his son to die a pointless death. Do you see what happens when we make that mockery of God? It's pretty serious, isn't it? That's why the lust of the flesh is so critical to understand. Oh, can it be a sexual sin? Absolutely. Does it mean it has to be? Absolutely not. See, once we analyze our own lives, and that's what I pray all of us do this week, is that we look at our list of lust of the flesh and we see where we're falling short. Not according to my standard, according to God's standard. I have to go through my list and go, not good. Mm-mm. Oh boy, that's a doozy. I got to go through my list to make sure where I'm living. Am I living for the Lord? Am I living for John? The struggle, isn't it? But I promise us this. If we're willing to take the challenge, if we're willing to delve into this very difficult, introspective autopsy, if you will, I promise you that once we get in there and we find out what's really going on in our hearts, if we're willing to allow him to root it out, I promise you, from God's word, that's when there's victory. That's when we get set free. That's when we have hope, we have peace and joy, because we've gotten in there with that scalpel and we've found the areas that are really tripping us up. This lust of the flesh thing, I don't know about you, it challenges me. And so I was thinking through this here in our last part of this message. We know there's lust of the flesh. We know there's a struggle going on. There's tension. There's an issue here. So what is the good news? Is there any way to get around this? Is there any way to get over this? Is there any way to have healing from this? And the answer from God's word is a resounding yes. And here it is. It's the simple word. Self-control. You go, wait a minute, that's not simple. That's hard. Anyone got self-control mastered? That's hard, isn't it? What is self-control? Do we even know what it is? Well, in the Greek language, it simply means what I just said. It literally means this, to master. In other words, if you or I have self-control over whatever the cravings and the lust of the flesh that we have, whatever it may be, if we've garnered self-control, we've learned to master that sin, not that sin mastering us. So that's the trouble, isn't it? We get in these sins, and what happens is, on the outside, it all looks great, but the reality is, we're living a life that's mastered by sin, that's led by sin, that's our master, our Lord, really, is our sin. That's what drives our ship. Here's what it says in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love this. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that not awesome? See, here's the deal. Right here is our solution. If you're here this morning going, okay, God's speaking to me. Yeah, it's not the sexual deal, but man, I'm telling you, the gossip and the slander and the bitterness and the envy and the jealousy, it has got a grip on my life right now. Oh, here's the good news. Here's the gateway that will set us free. You say, what is it? It's the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, if I live in the fruits of the Spirit, if I take that RV and I move it from 6213 Lust of the Flesh Avenue, and I move it down to 5418 Fruit of the Spirit Avenue, I promise you this. Now what we've done is we've closed the loophole for the gratifyings of the lust of the flesh to now enter our lives. If you and I were to live like loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and having self-control, can you imagine how different my life and your life would be? Wouldn't they be different? I mean, if we lived in those things, if we got rid of the sexual issues, if we got rid of the bitterness, the slander, the gossip, the jealousy, the complaining, if we threw all that out the window and we said, you know what, we're going to take that shovel, we're getting rid of all this stuff, and we're going to dump into our lives joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, love, imagine how our lives are going to be changed. Imagine how our neighborhoods are going to be changed. Imagine how our church is going to be changed. Imagine how South Tampa will be changed for God's glory. Some of you right now are going, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. And my answer to you is, you're right, I don't understand, but God does. Oh, God understands. Jonathan Parnell says this as I close. Sin is not a thing we can just sweep under the rug. It's not a little this or a little bit of that. Oh, no. Sin is most fundamentally our acting like Satan instead of reflecting God's glory. Think about this for a moment. Fudging on the truth. Spinning things a bit. Ignoring God's word. Elevating our reason above what He has said. These are neither struggles nor foibles. They are satanic. It is to deny the most fundamental purpose we exist, and that's to glorify God and to bear the imprint of His holiness. Our motivation to a life of repentance is to see our sin for what it truly is. If any of us are bold enough this morning, and it's going to take some bold people, but if we're bold enough to go, Lord, show me my sin for what it really is, there's two things that's going to happen, I promise you. Number one, it's going to hurt. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be pain in the offering. But number two, there's going to be great healing in your life. There's going to be a healing that surpasses all human understanding. Why? Because we know from Galatians there, the fruits of the Spirit, that we're going to crucify or mortify our lust of the flesh. That means put to death. Whatever today that you and I are struggling with and we're saying, look, this has got a grip on me. I have a craving. I have an unbridled desire to please this area in my life. If you're willing today to crucify it, to mortify it, to put it to death, that is when you will truly be set free.
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of these messages are recorded at Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. In addition, these messages are also archived at thisdayministries.org. You know, we have a great task ahead of us in 2012, and that is to take the truth of God's Word to the masses who need to hear. If you feel led to partner with us in this endeavor, feel free to go to thisdayministries.org to find out more information about this exciting opportunity. Our prayer today is that you've been challenged, encouraged, and motivated to live for Christ. And so let's all go out intentionally and urgently this day, and let's go make that difference for Jesus Christ.